Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today I have with me Jonas, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with your music?
Yeah, I'm Jonas, but my artist name is Mbata, which is my third first name. So it's nothing too original. It's just one other name I use. And I've been making music from since I was, I don't know, nine, I think. But I started to be more serious about music around the time COVID hit in 2020. And it's different projects that I'm working on, from hip hop rap to more like a blend with singing, and then using some influences from other genres as well. I like to experiment a lot, and so I try to incorporate the interest in the music as well.
So you've been singing songwriting then, or is it music production you focus on?
I started out with producing, but I also wrote a lot of songs. And then when I started to work with other people, I realized it was for me easier to focus on the singing and songwriting and then focusing on the lyrics and the vocals and having some, not physically making music, but more working with talented musicians and have a kind of a conversation about the music that we're making. I was not always involved with the musical parts physically, but brainstorming and thinking about new things to incorporate in music, that was more my role. But I also play the keys and ukulele, and I've been trained as a drummer when I was younger, although that's been a while now.
Can you tell me about where you're based and what artists and singer-songwriters you collaborate with?
So I'm based in Belgium, and one of the projects that I worked on 3 years ago was with a very talented producer, which is he was also my friend from school. And it's called Feels in the Bag because it's like a different kind of feelings that we want to touch and reach, and also combine different genres. But he has a band called Julius, and he also was like in a band, White Privileged Boys, or like Privileged White Boys, I think that's the name. And yeah, he's more pop rock kind of thing. So it was interesting to work with him because I was more like hip hop based. And so to combine the two was really interesting for me because I liked the process of it. But otherwise, also, yeah, I think Wavery is another one. I didn't work with her like on release songs, but we had some few sh sessions in Antwerp with all kinds of different artists. And I felt like the ugly duck in that case because it was a group full of people that participated in The Voice in Belgium. So I was the only one like not involved in those things. So it was really fun to see them being this talented in just singing and feeling each other's vibes in the music. And in the beginning, I felt a little bit strange, but at the end, I felt like I was part of the group. We also She also started a group on Facebook with those musicians where there were challenges where you, like for some there was a project like a task that we had to do, and it was about writing a song about a color. And so I wrote the song Violets, which is also the base for Feels in the Back. It was the first song we made, so actually I took that demo and then I went to Emil, the guy from Feels in the Back, and then we made a newer version, and then we started releasing songs, and that's how I started to release songs also as a solo artist as well.
Oh, so I've noticed that you've been trying to improve your songwriting. Participated in a group which did challenges. Was it an everyday songwriting challenge where you write a song each day, or was it just miscellaneous songwriting challenges?
I think it was just random. If you had an idea for the group, you could propose. And it was like you weren't like obliged to do it. It was more like if you feel the objective, then you can do something. It was more about inspiring each other and showing and getting some feedback or like whatever input from other people that are also in the same boat as you. I think that was more comforting for me because, yeah, as I said, there were all people that were really invested in the singing part, and they were miles ahead at the time. And so for me, it was a nice opportunity to learn and to get some feedback from people that were like professional singers. And yeah, I think that was, it didn't live that long though, but I also noticed that A lot of times people start those initiatives and some of them still are ongoing. So it's nice to see it in Belgium as well that it's still there's a community for it.
And may I ask, do you believe that songwriting on a continuous basis is something that will help develop your craft, or how do you go about your songwriting?
For me, music is not the only thing I'm doing on the creative side of it. And I've noticed for myself that I like to be creative in all kinds of ways. And some I work in periods, like in blocks. There would be months with a writer's block, so I cannot write anything or make music, but I'm busy with making videos and other stuff. And so I believe the people that I know that are mainly focusing on the music parts, like the music career, they keep grinding a lot. They do small concerts, big concerts, they do competitions, all of those things, and also posting a lot of their things online. Also, singing sessions, they record it and then they post it in as a story or as a post on Instagram or TikTok. And I think that helps a lot because you get a lot of input from other people. And you learn how to deal with criticism and feedback in that way. And that way, you will learn what people like about your songs or your style of singing or your entire profile and
What they
don't like,
do.
yeah, and
Yes.
what they do.
Can you tell me more about the other creative pursuits you've taken on? You were talking about how you've done video recording and editing. Is that all
Yeah.
you do, or do you have other forms of art?
My friends always tell me that I have ADHD when it comes to creativity because I'm so curious of doing multiple things at once and it's very chaotic. But I'm also a freelancer in like the media world, so I edit, I make videos, branding, whatever, like those things, because it's nice to work with clients and create something together, because in a way it's also creating, like you would do songwriting together with other musicians. And also I used to act as well, like theater, and then it stopped for 4 years, and then now I did it again, which was very chaotic because with all the other stuff going on, it felt really busy, but it felt nice as well because you don't know the other actors that well, you don't know the script as well, and then at the end you have to perform for hundreds of people. So it feels nice when the result is nice and you worked hard for it together. That's what I like with all the creative things I do. It's always collaborative, and that's what I like the most.
Did you do live acting, or was it for films?
I started out first for camera, so short films of students. I also did commercials for camera, so I got used to acting not too lively. For a theater, you have to be very big in your
Yes.
acting. And that was my problem when I started the play last year again, because my director said you play as if you play for a camera, but people in the back of the
Can't see
audience.
you.
Yeah, so that was something to that I needed to adjust to. But yeah, I think I like acting for in front of the camera more because if you fail, you can do it again or you can try another take. Where as in play, you do it live, so you cannot just say to the audience, "Wait, let me do this again, different now." Yeah, but it's challenging. After a show, it's very rewarding because if you did a good job, immediately you have the input of the audience, the feedback. I think in its own way, it's also nice. If I have to choose, it's in front of the camera just because it's more comforting.
No, I've spoken to actors before who have done both live theater and also film, so in camera,
Yeah.
and they've said that on camera it's more nuanced, where it's the
Yeah.
subtle things, maybe you blink your eyes, or maybe you stare off to the side, or it's just your facial expressions, and the camera lens can zoom in on that. But when you're on stage and maybe you look off to the side, then you're right, the people in the back row can't see that. You've got to do these grand gestures. And it's
Yeah.
wonderful to know that you've had experience in the both of these fields. Can you tell me more about the videos you edit or the clients you work with?
Yeah, sure. So actually, my dream is to have my own production company where I can make my own content, not alone, but just have a creative team. But for now, I'm doing it on the side. Whenever I have time, I'm trying to build up the path to my dream. But at the same time, my clients, I focused on smaller companies that where I can work more closely.
Yes.
open for your inputs. So it's not just, yeah, we hire you for the video, you make this video, and then we pay you. No, it's more, yeah, what do you think? We want to do this. Is it nice? What do you think? What we can do, blah,
It's
blah.
building a
In that sense,
relationship with
yeah,
the
exactly.
company.
Exactly. And I think that's the personal approach. I think that's what I'm trying to maintain with all the clients, new clients, potential clients, old clients, just to have that. It's not just I'm the one you hire and you're the client. It's more like let's work as a team, and I want the best video for you, but if you just want like someone to follow your orders, even if it's not the best idea, then I'm not the person. I like to think with the client and try to think as the client together with them, and where I still feel comfortable in creating something. Because yeah, at the same time, if you get the creative freedom, you don't want to disappoint them. You don't want the direction that they're trying to be nice, but you can see on their face that they're not happy with the video. That's also something to avoid.
And in the video process, are you the camera guy? Are you the editor? Do you do all of those things?
It depends on how big the project is. When it's a small project, I shoot the video, I edit the video, I do the communication. And some bigger projects, I might have someone helping me with the post-production, like in specific things, like yeah, helping me with some graphic elements that I cannot do, or what we can do simultaneously. Like I'm editing the video, and then if I have an idea for a graphic animation or whatever, I can just tell the other person, I want something like this. Can you visualize this while I'm working on the edits? The same as for production. If I need someone extra to shoot with me or to just assist, those kinds of things, it's more if I need the help, I'm not afraid to ask or to look for help.
It depends on the size of the project, is that what you're
Yeah.
saying? Yes. And can you tell me about maybe a couple examples of some companies you've worked with and you've had to do something specific, or they've had this vision in mind and you were trying to bring that vision into fruition? Can you tell me about some instances where it went well for you and other instances where there was a lot of difficulties?
In the city where I live, there's also the city hall. You have different departments, and I work with the department that focuses on entrepreneurship for the youth. And so I started out as one of the entrepreneurs that seeking for guidance and coaching from them. And then they started giving me projects where they didn't see me just as a videographer, but more like someone that can do social or whatever. So I was a social guy first, and
Marketer.
then yeah, and then this year, for example, I was hired as a videographer, but not just to make the videos, but also to create the concept with them. And so that's nice because they know how my mind works. I'm more focused on creating shows or formats or whatever, like a concept, than just a corporate video. I can do that as well, but that's not the goal in the long run. And so it's nice that they gave me the opportunity because they want to inform the young entrepreneurs in a fun way. And for me, it's nice because it's storytelling. It's not just a testimonial or whatever. It's just informing the youth or the young entrepreneurs in a creative way by telling a story and incorporate those elements. So they are happy with the information that we're sharing with the audience. And I'm happy because I get the chance to create something with them and think and brainstorm with them to create a format, a visual concept that comes alive.
That's wonderful. I love that they cater to your creative style, where they know that you're not just a person who goes and takes a video, but you've got the ideas, you've got the concept, you've got the vision in your mind. And it's just having the resources, the tools to bring that vision to life.
Yeah. And so it's a lot. I don't want to be like, let me take over. No, it's just let's create something together, I think. And sometimes there might be projects where it's just they have a concept already and need to do your part. If they need a video for their concept, I get that. I like to do that as well, but it's less creative in the sense of you have so many restrictions. For example, if they have their concept already, then you have to match their concepts instead of just starting to create something with them. So that's a nice chance that I'm getting now. But at the same time, yeah, there are a lot of projects where It clashes sometimes in the beginning because I try to pitch other stuff and they're like, or they want me to stick to the concept, which I get. If you made your concept, it would be nice to see it come to life in a video or whatever you need. And so if the videographer is doing his own thing the entire time, then it's not a match. And that's also something I want to avoid. At the end of the day, it's their money, it's their project, it's their concept, it's their like wish. So in the end, as long as they're happy, I'm happy.
Yes, I love that. I would like to wrap up this episode now. Are there any social media platforms or website links that our listeners can find you at?
I have a podcast. It's called Renaissance. I think you need to see it. Like you have to write it down, but it's in Dutch. But the next season will be with English subtitles and some episodes. Like I have different segments where my roommate is. We talk in English with at home, and so when he's on the podcast, it will be English as well speaking. I love what you do. I think it's really inspiring, and it's fun to have done this. I'm also curious for the other episodes now to check them out. And yeah, it's really great that you're doing this.
Thank you so much. Think it's been wonderful having you on this podcast. And for you listeners out there, if you like this odd podcast and you like more episodes, please do share it with a friend or a family member. And I hope to see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today I have with me Jonas, is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with your music?
I'm Jonas, but my artist name is Mbata, which is my third first name. So it's nothing too original. It's just one other name I use. And I've been making music from since I was, I don't know, nine, I think. But I started to be more serious about music around the time COVID hit in 2020. And it's different projects that I'm working on, from hip hop rap to more like a blend with singing, and then using some influences from other genres as well. I like to experiment a lot, and so I think I try to incorporate the interest in the music as well.
So you've been singing songwriting then, or is it music production you focus on?
I started out with producing, but I also wrote a lot of songs. And then when I started to work with other people, I realized it was for me easier to focus on the singing and songwriting, and then focusing on the lyrics and the vocals, and having some, not physically making music, but more working with talented musicians and have a kind of a conversation about the music that we're making. I was not always involved with the musical parts physically, but brainstorming and thinking about new things to incorporate in music, that was more my role. But I also play the keys and ukulele, and I've been trained as a drummer when I was younger, although that's been a while now.
Can you tell me about where you're based and what artists and singer-songwriters you collaborate with?
So I'm based in Belgium, and one of the projects that I worked on 3 years ago was with a very talented producer, which is he was also my friend from school. And it's called Feels in the Bag because it's like a different kind of feelings that we want to touch and reach, and also combine different genres. But he has a band called Julius, and he also was like in a band, White Privileged Boys, or like Privileged White Boys, I think that's the name. And yeah, he's more pop rock kind of thing. So it was interesting to work with him because I was more like hip hop based. And so to combine the two was really interesting for me because I liked the process of it. But otherwise, also, yeah, I think Wavery is another one. I didn't work with her like on release songs, but we had some few sh sessions in Antwerp with all kinds of different artists. And I felt like the ugly duck in that case because it was a group full of people that participated in The Voice in Belgium. So I was the only one like not involved in those things. So it was really fun to see them being this talented in just singing and feeling each other's vibes in the music. And In the beginning, I felt a little bit strange, but at the end, I felt like I was part of the group. We also She also started a group on Facebook with those musicians
Yes.
where there were challenges, where you, like for some there was a project, like a task that we had to do, and it was about writing a song about a color. And so I wrote the song Violets, which is also the base for Feels in the Back. It was the first song we made. So actually, I took that demo, and then I went to Emil, the guy from Feels in the Back,
Yes.
and then we made a newer version. And then we started releasing songs, and that's how I started to release songs also as a solo artist as well.
Oh, so I've noticed that you've been trying to improve your songwriting. I participated in a group which did challenges. Was it an everyday songwriting challenge where you write a song each day, or was it just miscellaneous songwriting challenges?
I think it was just random. If you had an idea for the group, you could propose, and it was like you weren't like obliged to do it. It was more like if you feel the objective, then you can do something. It was more about inspiring each other and showing and getting some feedback or like whatever input from other people that are also in the same boat as you. I think that was more comforting for me because, yeah, as I said, they were all people that were really invested in the singing part, and they were miles ahead at the time. And so for me, it was a nice opportunity to learn and to get some feedback from people that were like professional singers. And yeah, I think that was, it didn't live that long though, but I also noticed that like a lot of times people start those initiatives and some of them still are ongoing. So it's nice to see it in Belgium as well, that it's still, there's a community for it.
And may I ask, do you believe that songwriting on a continuous basis is something that will help develop your craft, or how do you go about your songwriting?
For me, music is not the only thing I'm doing, like on the creative side of it. And I've noticed for myself that I like to be creative in all kinds of ways. And some I work in periods, like in blocks. There will be months with a writer's block, so I cannot write anything or make music, but I'm busy with making videos or whatever and other stuff. And so I think, I believe the people that I know that are mainly focusing on the music part, like the music career, they keep grinding a lot. They do small concerts, big concerts, they do competitions, like all of those things, and also posting a lot of their things online. Also singing sessions, they record it and then they post it in as a story or as a post on Instagram or TikTok. And I think that helps a lot because you get a lot of input from other people, and you learn how to deal with criticism and feedback in that way. And that way you will learn what people like about your songs or your style of singing or your entire profile and
What they
don't like,
do.
yeah, and
Yes.
what they do.
Can you tell me more about the other creative pursuits you've taken on? You were talking about how you've done video recording and editing. Is that all
Yeah.
you do, or do you have other forms of art?
My friends always tell me that I have ADHD when it comes to creativity because I'm so curious of doing multiple things at once, and it's very chaotic. But I'm also a freelancer in like the media world, so I edit, I make videos, branding, whatever, like those things, because it's nice to work with clients and create something together. Because in a way, it's also creating, like you would do songwriting together with other musicians. And also I used to act as well, like theater, and then it stopped for 4 years, and then now I did it again, which was very chaotic because with all the other stuff going on, it felt really busy, but it felt nice as well because you start from something, you don't know the other actors that well, you don't know the script as well, and then at the end you have to perform for like hundreds of people, and
Yes.
then yeah, it feels nice when the result is nice and you worked hard for it together. I think that's what I like with all the creative things I do. It's always collaborative, and that's what I think I like the most.
Did you do in live acting, or was it for films?
I started out first for camera, so short films of students. I also did commercials for camera, so I got used to being like acting not too lively for like for a theater. You have to be very big in your acting, and that was my problem when I started the play. last year again because my director said you play as if you play for a camera, but people in the back of the
Can't see
audience.
you.
Yeah, so that was something to that I needed to adjust to. But yeah, I think I like acting for in front of the camera more because if you fail, you can do it again, or you can try another take. Where it, as in, yeah, a play you do it live, so you cannot just say to the audience, "Wait, let me do this again. I'll do it different now." Yeah, but it's challenging. I think the after a show, the reward is very it's very rewarding because yeah, if you did a good job. If you immediately have the input of the audience, the feedback. So I think in its way, in its own way, it's also nice. If I have to choose, it's in front of the camera just because it's more comforting, I think.
No, I've spoken to actors before who have done both live theater and also film, so in camera. And
Yeah.
they've said that on camera it's more nuanced, where it's the
Yeah.
subtle things. Maybe you blink your eyes, or maybe you stare off to the side, or it's just your facial expressions, and the camera lens can zoom in on that. But when you're on stage and maybe you look off to the side, then you're right, the people in the back row can't see that. You've got to do these grand gestures. And it's
Yeah.
wonderful to know that you've had experience in both of these fields, so in acting on stage and also. Yes, can you tell me more about the videos you edit or the clients you work with?
Yeah, sure. So actually, my dream is to have my own production company where I can make my own content, not alone, but just have a creative team and we can do all kinds of, but for now I'm doing it on the side. Whenever I have time, I'm trying to build up the path to my dream. But at the same time, my clients, I'm mostly based. I focused on smaller companies that where I can work more close to, and,
Yes.
open for your inputs. So it's not just, yeah, we hire you for the video. You make this video, and then we pay you. No, it's more, yeah, what do you think? We want to do this. Is it nice? What do you think? What we can do? Blah blah.
It's
Yeah,
building
in
a
that sense,
relationship with
yeah,
the
exactly.
company.
Exactly. And I think that's the personal approach. I think that's what I'm trying to maintain with all the clients, new clients, potential clients, old clients, just to have that. It's not just I'm the one you hire and you're the client. It's more like let's work as a team, and I want the best video for you, but I if you just want like someone to do to follow your orders, even if it's not the best idea, then I'm not the person. I like to think with the client and try to think as the client together with them, and where I still feel comfortable in creating something. Because yeah, at the same time, if you get the creative freedom, you don't want to disappoint them, or you don't want to be let them act. You don't want the direction that they are trying to be nice, but you can see on their face that they're not happy with the video.
Yes.
That's also something to avoid.
And in the video process, are you the camera guy? Are you the editor? Do you do all of those things?
Well, it depends on how big the project is. When it's a small project, I shoot the video, I edit the video, I do the communication. And some bigger projects, I might have someone helping me with the post-production, like in specific things, like yeah, helping me with some graphic elements that I cannot do, or what we can do simultaneously, like I'm editing the video, and then if I have an idea for a graphic animation or whatever, I can just tell the other person, I want something like this. Can you visualize this while I'm working on the edits? The same as for production. If I need someone extra to shoot with me or to just assist, those kinds of things, it's more if I need the help, I'm not afraid to ask or to look for help.
It depends on the size of the project, is that what
Yeah.
you're saying? Yes. And can you tell me about maybe a couple examples of some companies you've worked with and you've had to do something specific, or they've had this vision in mind and you were trying to bring that vision into fruition? Can you tell me about some instances where it went well for you and other instances where there was a lot of difficulties?
In the city where I live, there's the city hall, you have different departments, and I work with the department that focuses on entrepreneurship for the youth. And so I started out as one of the entrepreneurs that seeking guidance and coaching from them. And then they give me projects where they didn't see me just as a videographer, but someone that can do social or whatever. So I was a social guy
A
first, and
marketer.
then and then this year, for example, I was hired as a videographer, but not just to make the videos, but also to create the concept with them. And so that's nice because they know how my mind works. I'm more focused on creating shows or formats of a concept than just a corporate video. I can do that as well, but that's not the goal in the long run. And so it's nice that they gave me the opportunity because they want to inform the young entrepreneurs in a fun way. And for me, it's nice because it's storytelling. It's not just a testimonial. It's just informing the youth or the young entrepreneurs in a creative way by telling a story and incorporate those elements. So they are happy with the information that we're sharing with the audience, and I'm happy because I get the chance to create something with them and think and brainstorm with them to create a format, a visual concept that comes alive.
That's wonderful. I love that they cater to your creative style, where they know that you're not just a person who goes and takes a video, but you've got the ideas, you've got the concept, you've got the vision in your mind. And it's just having the resources, the tools to bring that vision to life.
Yeah. And so it's a lot. I don't want to be like, let me take over. No, it's just let's create something together. And sometimes there might be projects where it's just they have a concept already and need to do your part. If they need a video for their concept, I get that. I like to do that as well, but it's I think less creative in a sense. You have so many restrictions, for example. If they have their concept already, then you have to match their concepts instead of just starting to create something with them. That's a nice chance that I'm getting now. But at the same time, yeah, there are a lot of projects where it clashes sometimes in the beginning because I try to pitch other stuff and they want me to stick to the concept, which I get. If you made your concepts, it would be nice to see it come to life in a video or whatever you need. And so if the videographer is doing his own thing the entire time, then it's not a match. And that's also something I want to avoid. At the end of the day, it's their money, it's their projects, it's their concept, it's their wish. So in the end, as long as they're happy, I'm happy.
Yes, I love that. I would like to wrap up this episode now. Are there any social media platforms or website links that our listeners can find you at?
I have a podcast. It's called Renaissance. I think you need to see it. Like you have to write it down, but it's in Dutch. But the next season will be with English subtitles and some episodes. Like I have different segments where my roommate we talk in English with at home, and so when he's on the podcast, it will be English as well speaking. I love what you do. I think it's really inspiring, and it's fun to have done this. I'm also curious for the other episodes now to check them out. And yeah, it's really great that you're doing this.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful having you on this podcast. And for you listeners out there, if you like this podcast and you like more episodes, please do share it with a friend or a family member. And I hope to see you next time. Bye.
Bye.